This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hi, and I'm Virgie Rodriguez, and this is A Race of Your Own, where we talk about how inspiration leads to resilience. And today's guest is a creative director and a choreographer, an actress, a dancer, educator, and entrepreneur. Born in Mumbai and raised in the Bay Area, she is a three-time Telly-winning choreographer. Her work has earned her a spot on the Dish Dash list of coolest South Asians. She choreographed for Mindy Kaling's show, Never Have I Ever, on Netflix, and has a creative production company for choreography and casting for stage and screen, Joya Nundi Kazi.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, thanks for coming. You are one busy woman. Every time I see like your social medias, you're like somewhere doing something.
Knock on wood.
Like, yes, and like choreographing and then like traveling and then doing all kinds of things. Thanks producing. For being here, producing all of it.
I'm so happy. Oh my God, I feel so like blessed that you thought of me because obviously, I mean, if you guys don't all know, I mean, hello, OG, legend in her own right, right?
So thank you.
To me, honestly, just even being on your radar and having this privilege to share space with you means a lot.
Yes, of course, definitely. I mean, I think just from like the work that you've done is really what kind of stood out to me because of staying to like tradition when it comes to like your choreography, right?
Yeah.
And that's really important, I feel like, now more than ever. So knowing that, you know, you've done these really big projects and then you're like have this weave of your tradition in that is really important, right? And a lot of what I talk about here is purpose. So how that kind of ties into kind of what you do.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a struggle being in Hollywood and wanting to really just be all in with tradition and culture and upholding and elevating South Asian art in an industry that really doesn't know anything for it and know anything about it and doesn't necessarily have a space for it, which is fine. You know, it's not like I'm in India where you're going to have projects right and left. And that was definitely a huge struggle in the beginning, but again, coming back to purpose is really what shaped the trajectory of my career. So I grew up as a student of the Indian classical arts, so that's music and dance. So I grew up studying seven styles of Indian classical dance. I played seven instruments. My life was
what
just
seven instruments?
Flute, guitar, violin, the harmonium, which is like a piano accordion situation. I played piano, keyboards, tabla, which is like the Indian drums, Hawaiian guitar.
Wow.
And the reason being
is
because
a lot of stringed instruments. Yeah.
Yeah.
I played the violin very briefly and I wasn't good at it. But New York City public school system had a pretty good music program going on for a while.
But But you know, so Indian music and dance go hand in hand because the rhythms of the tabla or the bowl is also the rhythm that you create with your feet. And so having that understanding really helped in my own just education of the arts. And I remember that when I started studying theater and dance at UC Davis, there was a very pivotal moment where I started understanding that even though I've studied all of these amazing dance forms that have been passed down generation to generation for thousands of years, survived the British rule, which really actually outlawed all of these, you know, and I've also been able to learn from the gurus and their disciples who have all helped create these lineages of dance. Just like in ballet, there's different methods. So there's different methods in certain Indian classical dance styles. And the family lineages that created these are the ones that I had the great privilege of being able to learn from. So even though I've done all of this and really, you know, if I wasn't in class at school, I was in some sort of training. It didn't really count for seeing me as a dancer in my dance program because I hadn't done ballet, you know, and this is again like 15, 20 years ago. So yeah. Things have definitely changed a lot. Yeah. But I started going through this weird struggle of trying to figure out, do I need to prove myself to these people only in one way, which is learning ballet? Mm. And so, you know, I did what I needed to do and I did the ballet. I started going to studios near school on top of that. And then I would switch dance training with other students. Like I would teach them Indian classical and they would, you know, coach me in ballet. And so I was on point within 2 years and I did all of that work, all of it. Yeah. And still at the end, it was like, oh, you're an Indian dancer. So do you like do belly dance like this? And I was like, okay, I can either be offended or I can just be that person that's gonna help share with people what it is that I do. Mm-hmm. And that was just that moment where I really realized that if I want to be seen and if I want to share with the world how beautiful Indian arts are, then I have to kind of really buckle in and say that this is what I'm going to focus on. And then moving to LA was difficult because, you know, I got meetings with agencies. I got signed right away. They're like, we love your look. You're really commercial. And I was going out to like the Little Mama auditions, to the Katy Perry auditions. I was making it to the last cut. But then it was like at the Little Mama audition, you knew I'm the only one in the room that isn't black. And there's a vibe.
Right.
And then you go to the Katy Perry audition. You're one of the last six and you look around and it's all white girls with freckles and red hair like she did at the time. There's me and one other like mixed girl and you're like, they're only going to pick one of us.
Right.
Right. And so that was where the struggle happened of like, I got to put food on the table, but also if no one knows what to do with me, I need to start creating my own opportunities. And that's kind of where, you know, pushing for creating the production agency, creating opportunities for other dancers, other South Asians, really became my mission. I'm like, I don't have to be forefront all the time, but if in the casting room, in the important rooms where our stories are being told, where those opportunities are being created, if I can get myself into those places and show people that there is use of this art form in a very commercial way, then that's really, you know, the goal.
Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, in that you found instead of taking what you were just telling that story about getting offended, instead of that, you kind of switched that, alchemized that and were like more like, well, maybe there's a purpose here. There's a lot of what I talk about here is purpose, right? Yeah. And finding that purpose within what you do and having that passion, right? I feel like now more than ever, you know, telling our stories from our perspective is whether that's through dance, whether that's through music or choreography, is really important to kind of maintain an integrity about it, mm-hmm. right? Because we're carrying who we are. We're carrying our families. We're carrying our traditions. We're carrying, you know, the things that make us unique. You know, yeah, that exactly. As much as many people might tap into that and watch that and they might watch, you know, your choreography, your pieces of work, they might, you know, take away from it something, but it's like no matter what, it's your culture. It's right. Who you are. It's embedded in you. It's in your DNA. And that can't be replicated, right? That can only come from you.
And I think it's so important that people of the culture should be allowed to tell stories of their culture and share mm-hmm. the dances of their culture or the music of their culture. Because so often it's very easy to just keep working with the people that we know and just kind of moving forward. And, you know, it's the way it works. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're like, you have a shoot, your shoot is in 24 hours. Like, you just got to get everyone together and make it happen, right? But taking a moment of pause to say, let's at least bring someone into the room that knows something about this so that we are delivering the right message, especially now it's 2024. Like, it's time it happens, you know?
Right.
That's so important. And just what you're saying about that this is who you are. And identity for any artist is such a... It's like a cornerstone of everything that you do. And so for me, having been born in India, but moving here before my first birthday, it was very weird because I I'm all in all through and through American. Like, I'm a California girl. Like, yeah. I don't fare well under 70 degrees. Like, I'm good with about.
As soon as it goes under 70 degrees, it's out. Time to wear a scarf. Time to put on a jacket.
You know, like, grew up going winter to the coat. Baseball games, doing all of that. But then also going to my Indian classical dance trainings and all this. But it was this weird thing that because even in the Indian community here, people knew that I was born in India. It was almost like, she's too Indian. But then I'm like, I'm not American enough. And when I go back home to India, she's way too American, right? So couldn't really find where I fit there. And then also just within the South Asian community, I come from, you know, parents of different faiths. So my parents ran away and got married. My mom is a Bengali and Hindu. Uh-huh. And my dad is Kashmiri and a Muslim. So we grew up going to church, going to the mosque, going to temple. Like, my mom has a very big faith in Jesus. And so, like, we grew up going to all places of different faiths. But even there, it was like, oh, no, she's like, she's a half blood. She's not, you know, it's like, she's not any one of us. Yeah. And so in our home, there also wasn't a strong tie to one specific religion. Where we went to go pray, you have the Quran, you have the Bible, you have the Gita, you have gods of all faiths. We have a Buddha, and it's more of taking the best from all of these. So I feel like for me, when it came to dance was the space where I found that discipline and almost the sense of religion within my dance. So that's kind of how I grew up, is that just all the beautiful values of all these cultures, all of these faiths together, and then being able to apply that in my discipline and my the way I approached the arts and the respect for it. So when I'm bridging the commercial world with the Indian classical world or the traditional world, I am very mindful of the fact that I want it to be viable to the West and accessible without stealing the root of it and the dignity of it. And I want something where people back home will say that they're proud of it, just like people here are intrigued by it. Right. And it's a interesting line to play across, but it's all about just staying true to who you are at the end of the day and putting your best foot forward.
I think it's, you know, I'm hearing you say it's like balance. It's like finding that balance and then finding the discipline to really stay true to the story you're telling, so to speak, right? Because the story you're telling isn't only just a piece of choreography that you might put together or production that you're putting together, but it's also like who you are day in and day out, right? Like, what are you adding to your story?
Yes.
On a daily basis.
Exactly. And in addition to that, right, you will never lose who you are. When people ask me, like, who are you as a choreographer? I'm like, who am I as a choreographer?
Period?
What is the answer to that? But when I really think about it, I'm a culmination of all of my guru's teachings, the stages that I've had the opportunity to be on and those experiences from that, and my mom's blessings. Like, between those three things, that is who I am as a choreographer. It's the teachings, the experiences, and mom's blessings. So that will never leave me. That is within me. Now, my job as a creative is that as I take all of these things with me, I also have to deliver well on the job. So, for example, when I came into choreographer Saweetie, who is fun, sexy, gorgeous, rap artist, I can't put her in the avatar that necessarily is 100% traditional. Right. I need to make sure that what I give her matches her vibe, her brand, who she is. But we're also bringing the aesthetic of the traditional. And she really was inspired by Bollywood music and Indian Indian hand gestures. But I also have to be careful about how we're treating that, because those are temple dances. So actually creating new hand gestures that would just specifically be for her without being offensive, but also giving her what it is that she wants, is where the creative part comes in.
Right, like giving her that authenticity. Where it doesn't look like it's appropriation.
Exactly.
Because even on that end, right, it could be considered appropriation, but it's authentic to her and fits her and her brand, her style, like you're saying.
So it's like, who you are will never leave you, but in entertainment, as I go back and forth between Bombay and here, the work has to change and you need to mold it in a very craftful way, especially when you're working with tradition.
Yeah, and I kind of, and I didn't say this in your intro, but I love your tagline on Instagram. You're like, Bollywood girl in a Hollywood world. I love it. It's like, I was like, I wanted to introduce you as that. But, you know, and that you founded your company when you were just 16 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. Like,
yeah, I know, right?
Like, you were still in high school.
Yeah. So, basically, when I was 12 years old, my parents took me to this huge Bollywood concert. And at these concerts, essentially, you have like the A-listers of Bollywood who come out and they perform their greatest hits from their films. And, you know, most of our films are musicals. So it's all about seeing those amazing celebrity actors and the dance and the music and all of that. And while I was watching the show, my mom pointed someone out on the side of the stage because we could see him through the wing. And his name is Shah McDavar. And he's a very famous choreographer who's credited with bringing ballet and contemporary to India. Nice. And so he was really big in film choreographies, you know, throughout the 80s and 90s. And then all of a sudden, that thought was planted in my mind that, wait, this is his job. And now I'm looking at all of these dancers and these gorgeous out of life props. He's known for having just these crazy huge.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Huge, gigantic costumes. Yeah, all of this. And it's like, this person thought of all of these things, and I'm seeing the dancers. I'm like, they probably travel the world, and they go like city to city. They're here performing for us. I wonder how they see their families. When do they go home? And then you look, all of a sudden, I'm not paying attention to the celebrities. I'm paying attention to the dancers, and they're just, you know, dancing full of life. The hair is flipping and the sweat is dripping, and they're just like, you just see joy.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I was like, I want to be a choreographer. Like, I want to create these things and I want to show people my culture. And so that was at 12 years old. And when I was driving home in the car with my parents, I told them in the car, I made the announcement that I've decided, Mama and Daddy, that when I grow up, I want to be a choreographer.
And what did they say?
And so I remember, like, my dad just, like, looking up into the rearview mirror and my mom kind of looking. They're looking at each other. Now, keep in mind, okay, my dad was a model and actor in Bombay.
Nice.
My mom is a journalist, and that's how they met. And once I came along, unfortunately, my godfather told my dad that he needed to get a real job. And my dad was doing very, very well. I think he would have gone very far. But unfortunately, they didn't have the privilege and the opportunity to be able to, you know, be like 19, 20-year-olds with a little kid and also pursuing things in entertainment, right? And so they come from that background. And then when they moved here without a single friend or family here in the country. It was just these two little kids with a little baby and they were trying to make it, you know?
Right.
So they also understand that dream. But then also, as parents have that concern of what is the viability of this career, the financial stability, but they paused and they said, look, whatever you want to do in your life, even if you want to be a janitor, just be number one. You have to work really hard no matter what. It's not an easy road. It's going to be more difficult than being a doctor, lawyer, or engineer because there's no set path. But whatever you want to do, you have our love and support, but you have to work hard. And that was it. And so then after that, I went to my first guru, who is my, I call her Jyoti Appa, which means like elder sister.
Oh,
so Jyoti Raut is my very first dance guru. So I went to her and started asking her if she wouldn't mind if I would shadow her and just come and help in other rehearsals, because I wanted to start understanding this process of creating, choreographing, teaching. And I had many dance teachers who allowed me that opportunity to kind of step into the room, shadow them, learn, and then offered me opportunities to choreograph and create. And as that was happening from 12 to 16, I really started like honing in on like what it is that I want to do, what I want to create, who am I as a choreographer. And then I was like, it's time to, you know, make it happen. And so for my 16th birthday, my mom told me that my gift was that she was going to drop me off at the mall to go get a job. And I was like, what? What do you mean? That's my gift. And she's like, well, now you're 16 years old. You know, it's time for you to go and earn your own money. And you can do whatever you want with your money. Go make it happen. I'll drop you off and make it happen. And so I was like, okay. And I went and I got a job at Abercrombie. And I spent like the first month there. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? I don't want to be here. I want to be dancing. I want to be creating. I want to be teaching. Nice. So I was like, I'm going to just start my own company. Like, let's make it happen. So I made a flyer on Word document. Went around, posted it up all over the community, at like the community center, at the libraries. Started teaching classes. And that was kind of the start of it.
Wow. I hear like a similar story of someone I know very well that at a young age as well, I knew what I wanted to do. And it, you know, a lot of what I talk about here is purpose. And for me, that point, and I'll always remember it, was watching, the original West Side Story on TV. It was like on TV or something. And I remember like pointing to that and being like, that's what I want to do. You know, when it comes to culture, because, you know, it was like the Puerto Ricans, the Jets versus the Sharks, and, you know, the Puerto Rican and the white American story, and like that what it was. And I was like, I want to do, you know, I want to be Anita. Like, I want to do that, you know. And it's, I definitely think it's like a gift, right? But it's purpose, I feel. And sometimes as a kid, we don't really know that.
Right.
We're just like, I just want to do that.
I just want to do it.
But to me, it was about representing, representing my culture, my background, you know, my people, so to speak, in that sense.
And your experience.
And my experience, yeah, and the importance of that. So I kind of hear that through line too, as you as a child saw that in that choreographer and you were like, there, that's what I want to do.
I feel like it's like a very magical, blessed moment that you don't even know what the meaning of it is.
Yeah.
Right. And so for me, I mean, once I was like 12 and onwards, then I started understanding who I am culturally, also in a space that doesn't understand it. But the way that I even started dancing is because of Michael Jackson's Black or White music video. And so I was like 3.5, 4 years old when it came out. I remember, I was already just so obsessed with Michael. I mean, right. Who isn't, right?
Yeah.
And like my mom would wake me up at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night to be able to watch his one video on MTV. She's like, you can get up to watch this, because I was just like that passion for Michael, you know? And so in the Black or White music video, he dances with an Indian classical dancer.
Yes.
And the style she does is Odissi. Yes. And when I saw that, I mean, I was so mesmerized. And this is also why, you know, we really harp on like, why is representation important? And I feel like we've really just like drilled this answer. But it really is so meaningful, because that was the first time that I had ever seen an Indian classical dancer, not from an Indian movie, not from my community, not at like community events. I saw it in a Michael Jackson music video, an Indian dancer, dark brown skin, bindi, big eyes, just like me, you know? And in that moment, I told my mom, I want to do that. Now, the reason was because I thought that if I did that, I could then
marry Michael Jackson.
Not just me. We're going to marry him and travel the world for him, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
was the end.
Yeah, you're like, that was the thought process.
That was the end, you know?
Right.
And then a couple months later, my first dance teacher that I told you about, Jyoti Raut, she is an Odissi artist. So that is actually how I started my dance career, is seeing the Indian dancer in his video. That began my dance career.
And that was like the influence of popular culture too, right? Like the fact that he understood the assignment, so to speak.
Yes.
How everybody likes to say that. But he really understood the importance of like culture and representing cultures.
And making sure that the dancers that he brought in were of the culture.
And it wasn't a diversity play, you know, in that sense where it was just like, he was like, no, I want to do this thing, because he was such a creative, you know, and rest in peace, Michael. I mean, Michael Jackson, I always talk a lot about his influence on popular culture and like dance, because he was such a, I talked about this before when he was, I think it was a Bob Fosse movie and I think it's called The Little Prince, mm-hmm. where he took that snake dance, and he made it his own, you know, yeah. the high water black pants with the white socks with the loafers come from a Bob Fosse movie, but he so made it his own and he was such a magnetic kind of force in that sense where he just transformed things and made it into his yeah. own. So
made it his own, exactly.
And for you to see it and for your mom to be so supportive 100%. Of like being like, because my mom would do the same thing. She's like, Michael Jackson's on the TV. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm like, I gotta go watch it. Oh my God, I can't. Ah.
Yeah.
You know, he had that kind of influence on us. And I think if you really wanted to take dance seriously, he was one of the people in our times, right? Because even before that, there was, yeah, the Ben Vereens and the Gene Kellys and the right. Fred Astaires, you know, the greats. But he
in
kind
a very
of,
classic sense
in a classic sense, but then he kind of he like put it and made it like this cool thing, right? And then he like added popping and locking,
just kind of gave birth to
this whole new way of space, looking at yeah. dance and really
performance
kind of performance,
the story behind it, all of it. Yeah,
yeah.
Fun fact, my birthday is Michael Jackson's birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wait, August when's 20, his birthday?
August 29th.
August 29th?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
That's awesome. Talk about kismet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, that's great. You know, I Michael, Janet have had such, for me.
I personally. Actually just got to see her perform. I went to her concert earlier this year, just a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. And I never had the opportunity to actually see Michael live, yeah. and like that was the closest thing to it, and I just feel like this is really, you know, kind of going off our original
yeah, that's fine.
Topic, but just the music artists that existed in like the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, like they just don't make them like that anymore. There's yeah. just this different feel and you just get transported. And I was like, why do I feel like, like we work on so many, we've worked yeah. with so many celebrities and you're very like, you know how to act professional. Yeah. But when I was in that room, I was like,
yeah, I got to see her. Was it this past year? Last year? In Arizona with some friends, with Brian Friedman, he kind of made that happen, and
yeah.
he had worked with Janet for a long time, and he had a barbecue, and she came over, and I
oh
was
my
like,
God.
I can't believe I'm like at the barbecue, Janet Jackson, like, and I was like staring at her, and I was like, don't stare, like I was trying not to stare, and I'd worked with her before in a music video too, very briefly, but you know, she, when we went to the show, you know, I just was like, she doesn't age, one. And two, she just like was hitting the choreography. Because the first tour I've seen of hers was Velvet Rope.
Oh,
and that,
oh yeah, yeah.
That tour, that show, I just was like, that was like iconic for me and transformative for me to see. But then years later to see her on this last tour, and I just was like, she's still like hitting that choreography.
She's making it happen.
And I was still just as inspired. I was still just as like, oh my God, it's transformative for me. I can't believe it. And then I got to meet her and I was like, yeah, you know, again, backstage, like she's like, hey.
I think what's so inspiring, especially about those types of artists too, is also just the longevity of their career.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that every artist needs to think about. I feel like one of the things that helped me out very early on is that I realized that being an artist and having a career as a choreographer or a dancer, you have to look at it as a business. Mm. And that's something that a lot of times people kind of overlook because you're just so, you're training and you're in the creative space and you like just want to do your art. Mm. But then when you focus on branding and who you are and, you know, everything from down to like costume design and the color palettes that I use, the way that my dancers are styled, the way that they walk, the way that they are seen, every single, you know, minute detail down to the marketing and who we are. Those are the things that really created the brand. And then going beyond that, longevity, like I'm not going to be able to dance forever. I've had a busted knee for now 2-3 years and it's not something that's going to get better. It's only going to get worse with age because it's just wear and tear, right? So,
but we don't age. We don't age, Joya. We don't
age. Maybe right here.
We don't age.
But, you know, that was the other thing, too, is like, okay, I can't be a dancer forever and I can't, right. you know, maybe a choreographer, yes. But then I also got to a certain point where, you know, knock on wood, I really feel like I got to a point where we really did the work. Like, it was out there, you know, it was on television shows and music videos and commercials, and brand partnerships. And, like, we're getting people out there and people see it. And that snowball will never stop rolling. But I got to a point where I started feeling like I kind of want more challenge. I want to do more and learn, you know, so exploring as a director, as an executive producer, as a creative director, now working with ad agencies to create brand partnerships that are more inclusive to the South Asian culture. All these different things, just really trying to push myself to go outside of my comfort zone and learn new skills so that when I'm 90 years old, and hopefully the other knee will be good, but if they're not, I can still be working and still feel purpose.
Yes. And having, you know, it sounds like to me, it's like advocacy is important to you too, you know? And again, it's like, we don't want to say it's like this diversity play because it starts to feel, it starts to feel like forced, right? And it starts to feel like that's just, it's like, no, it's like, that's just who we are. And there's still like stigmas around that. And there's still, you know, who's telling our stories. And I, you know, and for the audience too, it's just like a big thing. It's like, you know, the feedback that I've been getting, which has been great, has been like, yeah, no, I love watching it because it's so informative. And it's like, we just need to keep telling our stories, right? Mm-hmm. We just need to be out there. And sometimes, you know, it lands on us, right? Which then feels like, oh, I have a responsibility.
Exactly.
You know, and you try to dip and dabble between purpose and responsibility.
And I think that's a really interesting thing that you bring up, because that's not a responsibility that everyone has to take on. And right. I don't expect everyone to take it on. It's a huge decision. I mean, when I said before that I had a moment where I could be offended or I could take it upon myself to do the work, to teach, to educate with kindness and love and understanding, getting my feelings hurt along the way, feeling belittled along the way, feeling underestimated along the way, but still showing up with a smile to do it. It's not an easy thing. No. And not everyone has to do it at all. And there are a lot of people who decide, like, that's not, like, I'm not here to keep educating in 2024. Like, it's just not for me. I'm going to go the TikTok route. I'm making my money. It's happening. I've got my followers. We're set, you know? And there's no right or wrong to that. Mm-mm. It's just two different paths. But I just feel like it was within me and I had the capacity to do it. And so that's why I'm here. And yeah, not being offended is definitely one of the things that can make or break that process. And you have to tread the line and understand when is it appropriate to put your foot down and say, okay, guys, this time we need to make it a point to address the fact that why were there no South Asians in the room when the entire project was about South Asians, you know?
Right.
So it takes time. But I will also say that I'm very lucky in that there are people in the industry, you know, Tassandra Chavez, Christian, you know, there are people who really, yourself, who allow me to come into space and take up space and to voice my opinion and just be who I am as a creative. Right. And that in itself, when you kind of look back and give a helping hand to someone and you just help them come through the door to be able to say that, that actually helps push that narrative forward and that conversation forward so that when there are issues, at least we can have that conversation and be like, hey, I understand what the restrictions were, X, Y, and Z. However, we have these resources. And it doesn't have to be me. It can always be somebody else that we can bring in, right? I'm not saying that I'm the only one person that can do that. There's plenty of us. Mm. But just sometimes we need to make a little more effort to just reach into that community for it to make sense, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's definitely something difficult. And I know, you know, Reshma Gujjar.
Yes.
And so Reshma and I grew up in the same exact town, like two blocks away from each other. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I love Reshma. Hi, Reshma. Shout out to Reshma. Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, there have been some projects where she and I will jump on the phone and she's like, but Joya, like, I know these people. I know who's in the room. Like, I could make a call and like, I could explain it to them, but I don't know if I need to be the one to do that. Mm. And also for her, because she's an OG as well. Like she was the one and only Indian girl in all of LA, mm-hmm. you know, for a very, very, yeah. very long time.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can't just have one token girl. And it's right. like for her now, she's in a space where she wants to move forward and challenge herself and grow as well as an artist. Now she's left the space and there's no one else right. that we're going to consider at all, then that becomes an issue, you know? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's a difficult thing. Like sometimes you get tired, mm-hmm. which is okay, which is mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. But I think having allies in the space who recognize it and can just be like, hold on guys, 2 second pause. Let's bring somebody in. If we don't know who, we know people who can help us bring in the right people.
Right, right. And sometimes just being in that space of acceptance, right? And just being like, okay, well, this is what it is. You know, you look around and you're like, you know, who are the people in the space? What are they saying? What's the narrative? Mm-hmm. Can I shift this narrative into a positive, right? If it's negative, or if there's something that's being said that isn't true or that is unsettling or whatever it is,
or
right?
Sometimes people just don't know the nuances of things that can right. actually come off as not even slightly offensive, but it's like, it's vulgar. Yeah. You know, there's yeah, a lot yeah. of things like that.
Or people do know that it's vulgar and they know what they're doing. And sometimes you just have to be like, oh, okay, I see you. Checkmate. You know what I mean? And just, or just live in your truth. Because what happens is, and you know, no matter, I there was a quote I put up on some Instagram post. I don't know where I pulled yeah. it from, but I read it somewhere and I was like, this is smart. And it was like something like, you know, no matter what lies people say of you, always live in your truth. Mm. Like yeah. if you're living in your truth, no matter what anybody says, like the lies will just kind of fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what we're moving into. And other guests that I've had, you know, on here talking about, you know, authenticity, right. And being in a space where, you know, consumers, what they're consuming, they want to see someone like yourself who is of the culture telling that story mm-hmm. from whether it's dance or music or producing
even
an
directing,
event,
yeah,
directing,
writing,
like whatever exactly. it is. Like, I want to see it from you, you know, mm-hmm. Crazy Rich Asians is such a great example of that, you know, mm-hmm. from a movie standpoint, like everybody's family has every single one of those characters in their family. Right. And yeah. it didn't matter whether the family was Asian or Black or Latin or, you know, whatever, right. East Asian, like South Asian, whatever. It didn't matter. Like we get it. Right. And only those storytellers, those filmmakers could say it just like yourself. Like, yeah. I want to see a story from Joya.
And I think right? the thing is that a lot of times people think when it's something that's community based, that mm. it actually is alienating. Mm. However, these are all universal values. These are the universal themes that everyone can relate to. It's just that we're also trying to push push everyone into this space. Now, you know, again, it's like, it's not for DEI and all of that, you know, it, and I do think that it's got to make sense because right. also for people from the community, we don't want it to just be DEI no. because we've worked really hard to get to this point that if I'm going to get the job and I'm going to be in the room, it should be based off of my own merit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need the DEI hire. It's not necessary. However, in certain spaces, it is important to help shift the perspective and understand, like, hold on a second, we are not being inclusive and it's actually taking away and detracting from our goal together, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, moving across different spaces, like I just did a collaboration with AARP.
Nice.
So originally they wanted to do a collaboration with me to try to tap into like the younger South Asian crowd. And I was like, wait, we never get to see our older generation. We never get to see, you know, the aunties who are dancing and looking right. like the beautiful Bollywood stars all the yeah. time. So let's
the rich aunties, the rich Asian aunties. Yes.
And yeah. so it was really nice. I was able to bring in, you know, professional artists of the Indian classical arts and also nice. Ranjitha Chakravarti, who plays the grandma on Never Have I Ever.
Oh, cool.
And have her be in it as well. And it was for the Diwali campaign. So just really sharing this idea of togetherness and family, but also that not only is it important to embrace your own inner light during Diwali, but also help reignite the light of those around us. Mm-hmm. So this idea that, you know, even at the cast was like 70, 80, we had someone that was 90 years old, oh. that even at that age that they also need the support and a little bit of encouragement, just like we do for our kids in the younger generation, that we want to be able to give that to them. I mean, they're starting new careers at 60, 70, and 80 years old.
It's a great thing, like what I'm seeing. And it's like, I'm seeing, you know, younger generation saying, no, I want to hear from the OGs.
Yeah.
I want to hear from the older crowd. You know what I mean? I don't care about all this other stuff. I want to hear from them. What do they have to say? Because that's where all the wisdom is, exactly. Right? There's so much wisdom there.
Yeah.
And I really think people are out there wanting wisdom, hungry for that type of wisdom.
And it's so great now that we can actually create that space. So that's also one of the things that I do. Like, you know, sometimes I'll get certain contracts and I will say, well, if you want to work with me, you have to work with my dancers as well, you know, and I'm open to casting other people, but we need to get some of the brown bodies onto the screen or onto that stage. Or if we're doing something for AARP, it's cool for me to just kind of take that collaboration for myself, but then let's make it more meaningful. And we don't get to see the older generation, that older South Asian generation, because most of them, you know, they immigrated here. Mm-hmm. They didn't have that privilege of exploring the arts and creativity. It was really about, you know, we've made all these sacrifices for our families. We got to be successful. We have to make it happen. So now let's open up that opportunity for them and have them come be a part of it. And that just makes the work so much more meaningful for me, you know. And right now I'm kind of preparing for, so right now I have two shows that are coming to Disney Festival of Holidays.
Nice.
And they're for the celebration of Diwali. And one celebrates through dance and the other one through Indian classical music.
Where is that? Is that going to be?
It's going to be at California Adventures. And our first show is actually tomorrow.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And does it run through the holidays?
Yeah. Or? So during their festival of holiday season, we have specific dates for both the shows.
Okay.
So one.
Until the new year or?
Yeah. It's going to go, the holiday season goes November 15th till January 7th.
Nice.
So we have a couple show dates throughout that. So the first show, The Light Within, it's basically this idea that there's one character who's Dia, or her tea light. It's the only one that doesn't light up. And so she goes on this journey with her friends who try to help console her and show her that there's more to the Festival of Lights than just the light, and how different different states in India celebrate during Diwali, what the traditions are. Also introducing to different types of Indian music, whether it's classical, folk, Bollywood, Tollywood, which is the South Indian cinema. And through that, she talks about how she does community service with her grandmother, her nani, and brings gifts for her friends. And in that moment when she's thinking about others and not so much about her own light, her tea light.
How beautiful.
On. You know, so it's a really magical way to explore the idea of Diwali.
That's amazing. Disney needs to expand that. Disney needs to bring that to Hollywood. We need to see that. We need to see that on screen, and we need to see that as a live show.
From your lips to God's ears, hello. Let's make it happen.
We're the Disney gods. Are they listening?
Yeah.
That
is really
beautiful.
Really excited about that. It's just kind of, again, being able to introduce audiences, international audiences, into this culture where they're not just spectating, but they actually can come into it and feel it. And it's the same thing with the other show. The other show is called Rangoli Rhythms. Rangoli is the powdered designs that we make on the floor. They're really beautiful, intricate, like mandala designs.
Yeah.
And we make them for good luck and to invite prosperity into our homes. Nice. And so in this we are featuring instrumentalists who are all of the Indian classical world. So we have a sitar player, a tabla player, a sarangi player, and two phenomenal singers. And they actually are joining the world of Disney and Indian classical music. So you'll hear Disney classics in English with Indian instrumentation, and then also in Hindi. And there's a fun interactive where people can follow along with the rhythms that are made by the instrumentalists. It's just a really fun.
And that's also at the California Adventure?
Yes, exactly.
So it'll be during the Christmas season too.
Exactly.
Amazing. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's great. Yeah,
thank
I have
you.
To come check out the show. So we'll talk about that
later.
Yeah,
for sure.
I totally want to go see this tour. Oh my God, it's exciting. I'm so excited for you. So one thing I wanted just to kind of wrap up is you know, what I talk about on the show is being in a race of your own, which you obviously exemplify that, right? Mm-hmm. Just being in a race of your own, taking that decision, taking that initiative to tell your story from your perspective. Sometimes there's hills, valleys, plateaus, tumbleweed times.
Oh, yeah.
What would you say as just one thing for, you know, the viewers watching would be one thing that you would kind of give as advice to someone, you know, how to stay in a race of their own?
So my mom has always said that you need to roll out your own red carpet because no one's going to roll it out for you. Mm-hmm. And in line with that, through my own experiences, I've learned that the number one thing that you cannot forget is the belief that you have in yourself and what your mission was, what your purpose was. Because the second you lose that, you lose everything. I've been through so many, like every artist, we go through so many trying times and challenges where even sometimes your own community doesn't support you. Oh, and yeah. They almost think like, why you? Who are you?
It's really weird.
And that's very challenging. And mm-hmm. there have been times where also, you know, with the entertainment industry, it's superficial, right? Like there have been times where I've been told that I'm not pretty enough. I'm not tall enough, which is, okay, valid. But, you know.
About the height, right.
But, you know, not talented enough, like you're not good enough, this or that. And, you know, it's a part of it. And sometimes you need to take things with a grain of salt and be like, okay, I'll train harder. I'll make it happen. And just, you know, you can't be in a Lala world. Mm-hmm. You have to also be realistic. But if you succumb to what everyone is saying and everyone else's doubts, and then you start doubting yourself, that is the moment. And I've been there where I had decided I was going to give up on my dream. There was a time in college where I literally filled out my paperwork to go and change my major from the theater and dance major to just poli sci, and that I was going to become a lawyer. And within like 48 hours, I had a very special friend that came and told me like, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Just because everyone thinks that you're not good enough doesn't mean that you shouldn't think you're not good enough. Mm. And you know, that moment, if you're able to push through those moments of everyone else's doubt and you just focus on yourself and who you are, and don't be, you know, you have to be realistic. That's the number one thing. Be accountable and be mm-hmm. responsible for who you are and what you're bringing to the table. But if people don't see it, it's fine. Roll out your red carpet and head to the next room. And if there's no table to sit at, build your own damn table.
That part.
And if there's no one else sitting at that table, invite people of your community to that table.
Yes.
And then.
Yes. Make room for them too.
Make room
for them too. Thank you so much, Joya. That's so insightful. I so appreciate you. And I'm so grateful for you that you made some time to come to this. And I'm going to check out your show at Disney. I don't care.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is Virgie Rodriguez for A Race of Your Own. Please subscribe. Please leave us comments. Ask us questions. We want to know, you have something for Joya. You want to go check out her show, whatever. You've seen her work. Please leave it in the comments below, and peace out.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Joya.
Thank you.